On this very special day, we come to celebrate the God who gives us each and every day. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're pleased that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending worship here, we're pleased that you've joined us this morning. And those of us who are here every week want to greet you, shake your hand, make you feel welcome and at home. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come and introduce yourselves to us, because we do want to know you, and we would love it if you chose to make your home here with us. One way of doing that is to be involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. And the way you learn about something about that, at least, is through the bulletin insert you'll find in the bulletin today. They're all important. I hope you will look at all of them. I'm going to lift up a few things. Today, right after this service at noon, there will be an informational meeting concerning the Guatemala mission trip for this year. It'll be in room 208. And really, all you have to have is a willing spirit and an open heart. There will be two things that we'll be working on. One will be building a house. The other will be offering medical care through the medical clinic there. So if you do have medical training, that is very helpful, and they could certainly use your skills on this particular mission trip. That's at noon in 208. Also, this coming Saturday is our great day of service. That's March 8th. We'll gather at the church at 8 o'clock and then spread throughout the community to serve in different ways. You can register at the table in Reed Hall if you so choose, or you can register online. But I hope you will sign up for one or another of these service activities. Tuesday's a big evening for us. We have our pancake supper at 5 and our jazz mass at 7. And because we have so many people show up, the Caterpillar folks have agreed to let us park in their parking lot during that time. Now, if you're a regular here and you would be willing to park in the parking lot in the Caterpillar building, in their parking garage, which you enter right off of West End, that saves spaces here for visitors, for folks who would not know to park there. So let me encourage you to do that if you can. The pancake supper, as I say, is at 5. If you have ever been here and eaten the pancakes, I know you'll be back. If you haven't, these are not typical church pancakes, okay? These are marvelous. Same group of folks from Blackman United Methodist Church come every year to make them, and you'll be glad that you came. You can get tickets right after the service in Reed Hall. Also, the jazz mass at 7 o'clock takes place here in the sanctuary. It is unlike any worship service you've ever attended. I can guarantee you it is. We have a jazz band. We celebrate communion. But celebrate is the key word. It is a real celebration, and in the Mardi Gras style. So please come if you can. It really prepares very well for the next day, which is Ash Wednesday. On Ash Wednesday, we will have much more serious and solemn services here at noon and 5:30. And I find personally that that transition between the celebration of Shrove Tuesday and the solemnity of Ash Wednesday really makes a clear line of demarcation into Lent as I begin my Lenten observance. I hope you'll come and take part in all of these or any of them that you can. Child care is available for the Jazz Mass and the Ash Wednesday services. Finally, our youth are completing their 30-hour famine. You can read about it in an insert. They're very close to their goal. If you could help them reach that goal, I know that they would appreciate it. You know, we're just ordinary people, and we come from those ordinary lives, but we gather here, and the presence of God transfigures all that is ordinary into something beautiful and of deep and profound substance. Watch it happen.
God's Spirit calls to our spirits.
Inviting us to worship.
God's Spirit calls to our spirits.
Calling us by name.
Calling us to grow in faith.
Calling us to be made new.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to be in union with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us join together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, about what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why would you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and gone tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows all that you need, these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of God for the people of God.
Wait a minute, isn't this Transfiguration Sunday? Where's Moses? Where's Elijah? Where's the bright and shiny Jesus? Well, you know, after 40 years of preaching on that text on Transfiguration and watching the disciples want to build little booths and to live there and stay there, and Jesus says, you can't do it, you got to go back down the mountain, I thought it was finally time to deal with how do you live when you go back down the mountain. So we're going to talk today about the transfigured life. That's what Jesus is describing here, the transfigured life. It's embedded right in the middle of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Matthew doesn't wait to get into Jesus' teaching. With Luke, there is the temptation, there's the call of the disciples, and then there are a few healing stories and other kinds of stories. And then he goes out to a flat place and delivers what we've come to call the Sermon on the Plain. Not with Matthew. He cuts to the chase. We have the call of the disciples. We have a brief paragraph describing what Jesus has been doing. And then we hear, blessed are the poor in spirit. And we start that passage we call the Beatitudes. Jesus sits to teach, as rabbis did when they had something important to say. And in that teaching, he not only offers blessing, he talks about giving alms, do it in secret. He talks about praying, don't do it in public. He gives instructions on a whole variety of activities, both religious and some not so religious. And then he gets to this passage, which begins with a pretty tough statement. A slave cannot serve two masters, Jesus said. Now, there may have been some slaves in the crowd that Jesus was talking to. My guess is everybody who was Jewish in the crowd felt enslaved by the Romans, who were the occupying army at the time. So when he says a slave, a lot of folks would identify with that. You can't serve two masters. You'll love one or hate the other. Or you will serve one diligently and neglect the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Now the word here is sometimes translated money, actually means property. It actually means anything that has value to you. It's your stuff, okay? And all of us know who have collected a lot of stuff that you reach a point where you stop owning your stuff and your stuff owns you. Right? And what Jesus seems to be saying here is that if you want to serve your stuff, that you can love your stuff, but your stuff is never going to love you back. It's going to be completely indifferent to you. You may use your stuff for good, you may use your stuff for harm, but if you start serving it, you will have a master that has no feeling for you whatsoever. On the other hand, those who serve God love someone who not only loves you back, but loved you in the first place, before you even knew what love was. You serve a master who has loved you even before you were aware of it. So Jesus says, which would you want to serve? Well, his crowd lived within a larger context of a pagan society, and the pagan society believed that there were numerous gods, and those gods, many of them, were actively hostile to human beings. They saw human beings as playthings at best. You had to appease those gods. You had to keep them happy. You had to keep doing things to try to keep them happy. Unfortunately, there are some Christians who still believe that God is actively hostile toward humans, at least everybody but me and my group. Then you have the deists. Many of our founders of this country were deists, and for the deists, God sets things in motion and then goes off to some other project. God is indifferent to human beings in this understanding. God doesn't suffer with you, doesn't love you, doesn't really care what happens to you because God has moved on. But Jesus is talking about a God who is not actively hostile, who is not indifferent, but a God who has loved creation from the very first word out of God's mouth to get it all going, who called it good, who has loved all of creation and all humanity through all the ups and downs that we read about in the Hebrew Bible. This is a God whose very nature is to love. So while your stuff won't love you back, God has been loving you all along. And the rest of this passage is made up of examples that Jesus gives about why we shouldn't worry. After all, God has provided everything. Look at the birds. God provides for them. Look at the lilies of the field. They're more beautiful than Solomon ever dreamed of being. God provides for them. Look at the grass, the plain old ordinary grass. God provides for that grass. Now, if God is that much in love with creation, just imagine what God is going to do for us. So the problem is not that God hasn't provided for us. If there is a problem that some of us have way too much and others have way too little, that's not God's doing. That's our doing. It's because some of us have gotten greedy. It's because we forgot those lessons we learned in preschool, if we had a chance to go to preschool, or from our parents, if we didn't. You got to share. There's enough. God has provided enough for the birds and the lilies and the grass and all the people. But it's our job to transfigure what has been given to us. That word transfigure means to change in such a way that it makes something more beautiful, more substantive. It is our job to transfigure all that we've been given by sharing. Not to worry about it, not to worry that we might lose it. Now, when it comes to worry, I had the best teacher in the world, my mother. She called herself a worry wart. My mother worried about me every time I was out of her sight. When I was in college, I went to summer school, and in summer school, you just went Monday through Thursday, so I'd come home Thursday night or Friday morning and go back Sunday. Every Sunday night, my mother wept as I left. I'm not that bad, but I did learn to worry, okay? But you know what? I have never increased my lifespan by 1 minute for all that worrying. Have you? Now, I have suffered through a whole lot of things that actually never came to be because I worried. I made myself miserable over things that never happened because I worried. The phrase is attributed to Mark Twain. He may or may not have said it, but it's one of those quotes that if he didn't, he should have. And we probably, any of us could. He's quoted as saying, "I am an old man and I have seen many troubles, most of which never happened." Isn't it the truth? So Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. You have enough to worry about today. But God has provided enough. And then Jesus gave us the example. We're going to retell that story in just a few minutes. Jesus gathered his friends around the table, inviting the one who had already betrayed him, the one who was going to deny knowing him, and a whole host of others who were going to desert him. And he takes the most ordinary of common elements, bread. And he offers a prayer of thanks. Sometimes I use it in the service itself. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. God provides bread from the earth. And then he takes the cup, ordinary wine. He offers another prayer of thanksgiving. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, barei pri hagafen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who gives us the fruit of the vine. You see, he's not asking God's blessing on these things. He is blessing God for having already given us these things. God has provided all that we need. Now, Jesus could have said, "And this bread and wine, it's all mine. You're a bunch of lowlifes and dullards, and I'm not sharing it with you." But that's not what he said, is it? No, he took that ordinary loaf of bread, and he broke it, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." And he passes it around the table and shares it with all those gathered there. And in the act of sharing, transfigures that ordinary bread into something beautiful, something holy. That is where the blessing comes. And then, with the cup, he does the same thing. He says, "This is my blood," of a new agreement with God, between God and all people, for forgiveness. Drink it, all of you. And he gives it to them. And in the sharing, it is transfigured into something holy. You see, the prayers that are said up here don't bless the bread. It is the sharing that ultimately blesses the bread. We thank God for having given it to us. I mean, we didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything, really. We thank God for giving it to us. And in the act of breaking and sharing, in the act of passing and sharing, those ordinary elements of life are blessed. That's what a transfigured life is like, Jesus is saying. It's not a life that's filled with worry about what could happen, because we know that God provides enough for everyone. It's a life of taking the stuff that is not our master and passing it around. And in that very process, transfiguring our stuff into something beautiful and something holy. And in that very same process, we too become transfigured into something far more beautiful than we could ever imagine, and into a people that God calls holy. Thanks be to God.
What a tremendous blessing it is that God's called us all together here on this day to worship. If you're a guest, we invite you to join us out these doors to your right for a time of fellowship. And if you're a first-time guest, we invite you to stop by the Bread for the Journey table and look for Meyer Wilson. He'll be working there answering any questions that you might have about ministries in the church. If you look in the pew racks directly in front of you, there's a gray card. One side is for prayer concerns or comments, and the other side is for questions or comments for staff or lay leadership. You fill those out and put them in the offering plate when it comes around in just a few minutes. If you have not yet passed the attendance pads down your pew, you'll find the pads on the inside of each pew nearest the center. Pass those down, record your attendance, and when it comes back by, I invite you to open those up, look at the names of the people who are worshiping with you, and say hello to them after the service. Getting to know one another is an important part of being in a community of faith. On this day, our condolences are expressed to Bob and Fern Ritchie as they're mourning the death of Fern's mother, Louise Tate, who died Friday, February 21st in Birmingham. They had their services on this past Tuesday, February 25th. And we're also mourning with David and Claire Vest as they're mourning the death of David's father, Pat Vest, in Weaverville, North Carolina. Pat died last Tuesday, February 25th, and services were held in Asheville on yesterday, March 1st. He's also survived by West End member and his granddaughter, Rachel Gadd. God has graciously given to all of us all that we have as people of faith. Let us return thanks for these gifts by making our tithes and our offerings.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, God of love and light, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." And in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Now I invite you to join with me in that prayer that Jesus taught to those he called brothers and sisters and friends, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Since there is one loaf, we, though many, are one body, for we all partake of the same loaf. When we break this bread, it is a participation in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a participation in the blood of Christ. This is our Lord's table, and you are all invited. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. We ask that you come by way of the center aisle, kneel at the chancel rail. When you're ready to be served, simply extend your hand. You'll be served first the bread, then the cup. You're invited to remain for a period of time of prayer if you choose, but when you return to your seat, we invite you to return by way of the side aisles. If you need to be served in your pew for any reason, either catch my eye or the eye of one of the ushers, and we'll gladly serve you there. We take an offering at each of our communion services, and this month the offering goes to support our 11th habitat build that West End has been a part of, and our plates are here next to the front pews if you would like to support this ongoing and long-time ministry of West End. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves for others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Now go forth in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.